wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Welcome back to another week of the Gridiron, guys. We are back with another huge episode for you all. It's been a great week, huge weekend of football as always. Cam's here; he's ready to go, chomping at the bit. I know I am too. We're edging closer as well to dates in the studio. Second last night for me in O-Town, Orange, the big freeze basically at the moment. I'm so keen to get out of here. Look, it's not a bad place. Don't get me wrong, but. The fact that is, it's the middle of October, my car windows are still frozen in the morning and I've still got to live in with a heater on and a beanie. It's shitting me to tears. It should have been spring by now. I should have been, you know, sneezing out the ass with, what's it called, hay fever, but I'm not. I'm still thinking it's the middle of winter. So anyways, but two more nights and then we're in and we're getting close to the time and we're going to kick back and do some live recordings. But the man himself is here. Cam, how you going? Good weekend.
Oh, mate. Yeah, the weekend was good. We've probably spent the last 10 minutes of me fucking absolutely butchering whatever we've had here. My notes have completely disappeared off my phone. So, I mean, absolute licorice all sorts here. I don't know what's going on. I've got no solution, but we'll proceed. I've got the notes for the show and we're good to go.
Press on. You got the football brain to run it anyway, just straight off the bat.
Here we go. Let's hope so.
It was a good week, wasn't it? But I think to kick it off, we touched back into the Facebook group again. We talked out to listeners and we threw a question out there again another week. We talked about, you know, not the quarter of the way through the season, I suppose, maybe like the third now-ish, but who have been your top five rookies for the year? There were definitely some good names thrown out here and there, and we've both got our top five list. I think, should we start off with who do you reckon is your number one? Who's been your number one so far, Cam?
My number one, I've gone Devin Lloyd. Now, I guess it's not like the most sexy pick, and he was a guy that sort of, wouldn't say fell down the board, but he's from the Georgia factory. Oh, no, sorry, my apologies. He's a Utah man, isn't it? Devin Lloyd is a Utah man. I guess there was speculation on him not being one of the best in the draft, and he sort of slid down boards a little bit, but he's gone out, and I mean, as Jaguars have done so far this season, I've really rated him. So he's stuck at my number one spot. He's good odds to win rookie of the year.
Defense. Yeah.
So yeah, well, yeah, defensive rookie of the year and just the rookie in general, rookie of the year. But yeah, that's my number one. What have you gone?
Yeah, me, I've gone defensive as well. I couldn't go past my man, Sauce Gardner. Number one in your hearts, number one on the field. The guy has been absolutely locked down. Like, what, 20 tackles, one interception, six passes defense, but it's just been like his stats. I don't think anyone scored a touchdown on him again. Like, he's still rolling that in from college. Correct me if I'm wrong. Like, you're going to have to DR on that one, but I'm pretty sure he's been lights out in the red zone. No one wants to throw his side as well. Like, it's just ridiculous how good this guy is. I just cannot believe it, and I'm going to ride him all the way home. Like, I see this guy being the best corner in the game. He'll roll Jalen Ramsey anytime soon. And, I mean, obviously he's better than Eli Apple, but that's not hard at all, is it?
No, it's not difficult. And I guess this is the one that we saw the two corners go early. Stingley went before Sauce, and then I guess we kind of thought, oh, geez, either one of them is going to fuck up here. These guys aren't going to be what they're made out to be. Both have been exceptional, I think. Sauce hasn't made my top five, but he easily could. Like, it's very interchangeable, those sort of 3, 4, 5, 6, and then going through. And Stingley's been pretty good as well. But yeah, I mean, those are both reasonable first number one picks of best rookie so far this year. I mean, Lloyd, looking at his stats, I didn't say before, 49 tackles, 6 pass deflections, and 2 interceptions. Like, I guess we kind of rubbished the Jaguars on their pick of Trayvon Walker, and we didn't rubbish Devin Lloyd, but people sort of questioned it. But exceptional pick. Home run hits for both of them.
Yeah, I think both for the long term. We always knew Walker was going to be a project piece, and in the end, he was going to be amazing. But Devin Lloyd, he's come out like, and he's looked like he's been able to drop back as well from that linebacker position. So not only stuff the run, but actually drop back into those passing sort of areas. And as you said, deflect some passes, take some interceptions, and really break up sort of that mid game, essentially, when they sort of look to go in that drop back all the time. So
yeah,
looking from some of the listeners, what other names popped up from those guys?
I was just going through it before. Now, we didn't have a huge uptake this week. We had a few more answers last week, but that's okay. We'll sort of go week by week and see what we've got. So Dom Griffin here, group expert, says next to his name. So Dommy knows his stuff. He has listed here, I don't know if it's in particular order, he's got Breece Hall, Damian Pierce, my boy Chris Olave, so I assume he is a Saints fan, Drake London. Now, Drake London is one I'm just going to say now didn't make my list, but he's making a lot of lists in top fives. I guess his stats aren't exactly jumping off the board, but he's making some outstanding catches, and sorry, someone that's been dominant for them as a wide receiver, one that they were looking for. But in saying that, fifth is probably a tie between Jahan Dotson, who's now injured but has been very good, Alec Pierce, who's seeing almost a number one receiver role at the Colts over Michael Pittman, and Rashad White all seem to be having bigger roles. Kenneth Walker may be top rookie come end of season after Rashad Penny's injury. Now, that's probably a fair point there.
Yeah, I think Kenneth Walker has some really good upside. You saw what he did at Michigan State. He was just an absolute bull in the trenches, wasn't he? Guys like Drake London, I think he's going to be a really good player. I think just at the moment, he hasn't really done anything to sort of push into my top five. He's easily top 10 for rookie. Yeah. But I just think he hasn't really jumped off the page. And I think that's probably, you know, an issue of where he is and what sort of offensive production that they're getting out there at the moment. Obviously, Kyle Pitts takes most of the shine out there. But long-term, he's going to be amazing. A couple of other guys you mentioned, obviously, Olive Oil, Olave, he's amazing. He's done really well, I think. And Damian Pierce is another big one for me.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I guess we'll jump across to another guy, Greg Kane. Now, he's come in with a few picks, I guess, aren't the most sexy picks, I think. And we'll probably go on to this after we've talked about our top five quickly. But he's gone Tyler Linderbaum, Daniel Faalele, George Karlaftis from the Chiefs, Breece Hall, and also Chris Olave. So there's a few guys that feature there again. And we've also had Jordan Savage, a man's come in and said the big Uso, Daniel Faalele. Now, look, I don't know if he makes my top 10, but for a guy that's come in, played a position he's never played before and stood up to it, I mean, he got a lot of help from our guards, but man, an Aussie bloke just coming in there, doing his thing and just not looking out of place was outstanding. But I mean, yeah, there's some good picks from those two.
Yeah, it's crazy. Got to love those two. I suppose, should we look back at ours? I think running through from 2 to 5,
yep.
For myself, I've got Chris Olave is sitting in at number 2 at the moment. I just think what he's done with the Saints, he's clearly come through and been their number one receiver at the moment. Michael Thomas has sort of been indifferent, but I think Olave coming in with those 389 yards and 2 TDs, but I think it's just sort of those like clutch catches and things like that. And you sort of look at him as well. He's actually ranking up in the top 5, and I think yards gained in receivers for the whole league. So I think that's even just something to stand your hat on, just the amount and the amount of catches. 25 catches, I think, from 5 games. Yeah. That's averaging 5 a game. I think you're doing pretty well if you're getting that.
Well, that's right. And I think offensively, the Saints had a huge game, and this man was out early. Like once he got his touchdown again on the weekend, he was knocked out, and we didn't see him again. Now, I think we probably would have seen a bigger role from him. So it's kind of a misguided stat there, I suppose. I think he could probably be higher and could be, I mean, as you said, top 5 in the league. And I think this rookie, I will go on to talk about this as well, we just mentioned, but like this class, I like this class. This wide receiver class is also really nice.
It's fun.
But for one, we didn't expect to be so good. I didn't have Olave 2. I've got Breece Hall 2 now. I really love Breece Hall. Breece Hall is just on track just to rack up some serious numbers. 275 rushing yards, 213 receiving yards, 3 total TDs, so 2 TD rushes, 1 TD catch. So he's not punching through into the end zone as much, but he's getting those yards, and like his overs for receiving rushing yards each week, he's just been an absolute steal. I think he's on track for 2,000 yards in scrimmage, and look, I think against the Green Bay this week, we could see more from him.
Yeah, I really like what Breece Hall is going to do. He was actually my pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year at the start of the year. But for me, he doesn't slide into my top 5 at the moment. I think, obviously, last week was a breakout game, about 200-odd yards from scrimmage or whatever, rushing and receiving. But you look at his previous games, it was only the week before at Pitt where he really sort of broke out and he started to get more touches. You're looking at that sort of, they were running that rushing, running back by committee, but these last two games, he's gotten those more touches. So I think, for me, he hasn't quite done enough, because just these last two games, and especially last one, just hasn't been enough to push him into the 5 for me. But I think, look, long-term, we're going to see a lot more of this guy, especially like after that game. They're going to feed that kid the rock.
Yeah. Oh, 100% they will. Now, number 3.
For me, I have gone a running back who I think has actually put up a bit of production, and he's quite surprised a lot of people. So he's been very consistent over his 5 games. Damian Pierce out of the Texans, the running back. So 412 yards and 3 touchdowns. You've got a really tough offense out there that's going to lean on you. Davis Mills, we know, has really struggled and is just not looking like a long-term fixture there. So leaning on a really run-heavy offense, I think this guy's really stepped up and shouldered a lot of the burden and showed that he can, although he's not getting crazy numbers, I think he's getting really nice, consistent numbers, which is able to allow them to at least build some form of offense, considering that they essentially have no passing game out there.
Well, yeah, I guess we sort of saw him rise into contention. I think he was picked in the fourth round. So it's not a guy that's in our top five that was probably a first or second rounder. But we did obviously in the preseason see him start to ascend that role of right running back one and a team that's going to lean on him heavily. Now, I think week one and two, we kind of didn't see him as much and people were sort of miffed a bit by that. Like they sort of didn't use Pierce as much as people anticipated. But the last few weeks, this man has come into his own and he's just looked electric. Now, they got a tough – I mean, Raiders haven't been fantastic, but not a bad run defense. So I guess we'll see whether he is the real deal this week. But
yeah,
Pierce is outstanding, so that's why he's also my three.
Yeah, easy done. And then moving on to number four, I've gone someone who, to be honest, has probably flown under the radar a little bit from his pick. He was coming out of UTSA, so no one sort of saw him coming in and balling out. But it's been Tariq Woolen, the cornerback out of Seattle Seahawks. As you're probably noticing, there's a lot of defensive guys that have been balling out this year. But look for him. He's come out with 15 tackles. He's had three interceptions, one return for a pick six, and four passes deflected. So you're looking at these guys, this Seahawks team. It's been tough to judge what they are. They sort of had, you know, a couple easier wins against Detroit and Denver, you'd think, against guys at the bottom of the ladder. But then they've taken it to a few teams like Atlanta and New Orleans, and they've really pushed them. And I think this guy has sort of been a really focal point in the defense that has allowed him to build up some stats.
Oh, he's been excellent. Now, I'm just going to jump ahead and say he's my number five. I mean, there was question marks all over him based on how he was a big guy. I think he's 6'4". But ran a 4.26.
He runs his quick, speed, yeah.
Yeah, his speed for the size is absolutely electric. Now, where was he taken in the draft?
Round five, I believe.
So like late. Yeah, well, that's it. There's a fucking steal. The amount of cornerbacks that would have gone ahead of this man, I guess purely on the fact that people just didn't expect him to have this ability, but like, I'm furious. I think I liked him. We liked him. I think we talked about him in our pre-draft and before that. And we said, this is a guy that might be pretty good. He's a prospect. You could get him in the second round. And he fell just in their laps. He's been absolutely outstanding. So he gets my number five. But if I say now my number four, I would have Olave. We talked about Olave before, yeah, so we don't perfect. Really need to reiterate on him more. But Olave has to sit in my top five. Then we wide receiver class is outstanding. Garrett Wilson was also unfortunate to miss out, both from Ohio State, but both very good.
Yeah, then rounding out the five for myself, I've got Devin Lloyd. So as we know, we talked about him a bit earlier with yourself, 49 tackles on that. I do really love what he's doing. I feel like he hasn't been able to make as much of an impact as some of those other guys down on my list at the moment. But you can really see he looks a lot better than Walker does at the moment. And I think we sort of expected that. Walker was never going to come out of the gates amazing. But I think Lloyd has really stepped up and really stood in that position well.
Yeah, he certainly has. Now, I guess my question coming out of this was where, like, I guess it might be too early to say, and that's why we did this, who's your top five instead of where does this rookie class rank among rookie classes recently or and of all time? I mean, it's very early to say.
Yeah.
But even the less sexy positions, even the I mean, outside of QB, I suppose we should mention because QBs, we really haven't seen anything come out of that. But lineman has been absolutely sensational. There's been some serious guys playing on the line that are playing some serious football. Abraham Lucas, another Seahawks pick, he's been outstanding. Linderbaum's been good. Kenyon Green's been good. There's just a lot of guys that have been exceptional and a lot of guys that are starting, I think, more than previously, and we're seeing do big things in games. What are your thoughts on the class so far?
I think it's been unreal. This is one of those ones where you look at it's a lot of that skill position based guys. You know, normally it's the quarterbacks that come in and headline it, but this year it was nothing about the quarterbacks. It was wide receivers. It was defensive players. You know, we haven't even touched on guys like Kayvon Thibodeau. He hasn't really made his mark just yet. I think he was injured a bit at the start of the year as well. So
you've
got these absolute throbbers that are sitting in the wings and they're waiting to go. And they're getting a lot more time. Like even our boy Max Mitchell, like he's getting a lot more time and he's creating a really nice pocket around Wilson at the Jets. You know, they're looking to get their offensive numbers up. I think it's really exciting when you sort of see this because obviously a lot of it, the news is dominated by the quarterbacks because again, it is a quarterback driven game. That's fair enough. Well, I mean, even we come in here and we're talking about the quarterbacks pretty much every week because that's what rides or dies on a lot of these teams. I mean, I know my team is fucking dying on our quarterback at the moment, but it is nice to see a lot of these guys ball out and really change these games. You know, like Breece Hall over the weekend, he basically took that game by the scruff of a neck and won it. You know, other guys, like, as you sort of said, from the corners and things like that, they're changing the whole dynamic of a game because of what they go out and do and what they've been able to do and what basically what people don't expect them to do, because these are guys that are coming from, we had a really big year from teams like, you know, Cincinnati, guys outside the Power Five, and, you know, teams outside the Power Five that have developed these guys, and now they're coming. I mean, take Tariq Woolen. He's come out of UTSA, for Christ's sake. Like, that's in the middle of – it's nowhere near anything on, like, the scale of college football. Like, I don't even think – it's not even in the relevancy, and this guy's come in and he's absolutely dominating on the pro stage. And I think that just shows what sort of class this draft is.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's an exceptional draft class. We said outside the quarterback. I mean, you look at running back, we can rattle three off there. Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, and Damian Pierce, outstanding wide receivers. We've already listed these guys. There's a lot of guys in this class that have been absolutely killing it. Offensive linemen, we're really like, these are the guys that don't get the recognition. As you said, Max, before we had Max on, Max was picked much later. He was a fourth round pick. I mean, he's injured now at the moment, which is unfortunate, but he was building. He'd been playing exceptionally. He'd cemented his spot, I believe, and he's just been doing a great job. But there's all guys out there that are picked in these later rounds, which are just out there balling, doing their thing. Cornerbacks has some serious guys. Ooh. Elam and a few others like the Source, Stingley. Like, there's some serious guys getting around this year, and I think the talent by the end of the year is going to really show.
And I think watch as well. Like, even though we said the quarterback not so heavy, again, we're going to bring the narrative back to the quarterback. Those guys are starting to get some starts. And, like, look at Bailey Zappi on the weekend. Like, he took that game and he absolutely dominated. He controlled it so well. And I think there are other guys like Kenny Pickett is only going to be better for the run. Yes, he's tossed a heap of interceptions, but so does Matthew Stafford, and he won a chip. I think long-term they're going to be better for the run. Guys like Malik Willis, even though I'm not huge on him, but like Desmond Ridder and that, sitting in the wings, I think long-term they could come in and do something amazing too.
Yep, 100%.
So, but speaking of, we talked about rookies. We touched on a little bit. We should talk about week five. Look, starting off with an absolute shocker in primetime, as I sort of mentioned, Ride or Die. And Jesus, we rode straight into the ground. Mr. Unlimited. I mean, I hope this guy has unlimited lives, because he's going to need them after that OT shocker. That was just, I mean, it's just all eyes were on the TV that night, and they couldn't have been treated to anything worse.
Oh, these two teams can never be on primetime again this year. That was a disgraceful performance. No touchdowns. The kickers got to work out. Punters, kickers, they really had a night out, so it's one to forget. But, I mean, where to? For Colts, I mean, we had expectations of them winning the South. It doesn't really look like they're going to win the South, but they still could. No Jonathan Taylor at the moment. Where does this leave you guys?
I don't know, because, like, I come out here and I defended us to the ends of the earth for the last 3, 4, 5 years or whatever, with all sort of rubbish quarterbacks that we pumped out, but nothing was like this, you know? I mean, even Case Keenum, when he came from the Vikings, was better than this, for Christ's sake. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater was amazing. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, Russell wasn't that bad. We said that last year. He wasn't that bad, surely. But it seems to be when he comes over, he's almost like a locker room cancer from what it looks like. Like, just the weird shit that he's doing. He just doesn't look like a leader of men. And, you know, some of those guys, you come in, like Joey Burrow, he comes in as a rookie and guys just fall over. They want to be up in arms for him. I want to fight for that guy. You know, even dudes like fucking Kenny Pickett, like, you look and you go, damn, that kid's a baller. Like, you sit behind him and you go, damn, I want to get around this dude. Like, Zach Wilson, damn, that guy's a motherfucker, literally and figuratively. I want to get around him. Like, well, guys like Rodgers and Brady, you just feel like you're like, damn, I want to be with that guy. Whereas, like, Russell, he just seems like someone that you wouldn't invite to your barbecue at the home, would you? Like, you just sit there and you go, nah, probably don't need to tell him, eh? And then he'll find out you're all on Snap Maps together later and chuck the shits. Like, this is just a random dude that is clearly not, I don't know. And to be honest, fuck me, the play calling as well from Hackett, I don't know. And I think, again, this comes back to a lot of this about running the, you know, stats or whatever, but going for it on those fourths and ones, I don't know. It just seems mind-boggling, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, look, it's clearly a soft spot. Sensitive space for you here at the moment. Look, Russell really hasn't hit the mark so far this year. Hackett really hasn't either. And I guess when you're talking about these analytics, like, it's – if you told a coach these days to jump off a building because that's probably the best option for him analytically, they'd fucking do it. Like, they will run through a brick wall if you tell them analytically that's the best thing that you can do in this moment. yes, it has its premise. Yes, it has its part in the game, but sometimes you've got to just think of the actual football and just do what you genuinely think as a coach is right, because they're probably going against what they're led being taught previously, and it just doesn't always pan out. Now, I don't know what the answer is for you guys going forward. I don't know where it improves. I don't know. Like, Russell is just blind out there. He's playing like Stevie Wonder out there. There's guys that are open and he's just missing. It's not as if you don't have the cavalry. Your line, I don't think, has been fantastic. But defensively, yeah, you guys are always fine. That's never going to be the issue. Yeah. So, yeah, it sort of lands with those two guys. Your two biggest men in the building, the quarterback and the head coach, and it's struggling.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just even look at that last play where he tried to squeeze it down to Sutton. I mean, obviously, he had in his eyes that he was going to go to Sutton. But, I mean, if he just did what he used to do where he just rolls out, like, stop. If you're not having a good passing game, bring the ball down and run it, I think. And that's what he probably could have done a couple of times on Thursday. He could have just brought the ball down and just run it. Just keep the chains moving. It doesn't matter. And I think that could have been a way to go. I mean, the miss on the last play, that was just rubbish. But thankfully, yeah, safe space here. So I haven't been ripped too much, except for, you know, half the other friends that have told me to jump off. Even plenty have told me to, you know, start. Mate even got onto me and was like, maybe you should start come supporting New York Giants. And I just thought, fuck, I genuinely might here. Like,
yeah,
you know, well, you're at a bad spot when you think you genuinely might jump ship to the New York Giants.
Yeah, that's a grim day. Now, look, I think we can probably end that here, and you can save yourself any more despair and any more issues. We'll forget about that game. That game is gone, and we'll move on to the rest of Week 5.
Yeah, look, huge one. Speaking of Giants, big scalp over the Packers over there at Tottenham Stadium. Your boys, you love them over the EPL. But finally, there was some actual wins going on at that stadium for once.
Oh, yeah, I knew that was coming. Oh, look, yeah, it's a good money spinner for our boys, and we're about to sign a deal with Google, so we're probably going to be a very rich club, and you watch out for the future. But I digress. Look, yeah, the Giants. I mean, we the NFC lease, we have been privy to be calling it that in the past, and last year, probably fair. This year, not fair. I don't know. People talk about weak schedules. Yes, they've got weak schedules so far, technically. But they're 4-1. Cowboys are 4-1. Eagles are 5-0. They're doing something right in this division. Commanders, we'll just forget about that. It's completely fine. 4-1. The defense is firing because we know Wink Martindale went there. And I really love Wink Martindale. He was a Ravens ex-defensive coordinator. So you're going to get so many different looks in the game. Saquon's back. Daniel Jones, as you said previously, look, 217 yards, no touchdown passes. But we're not hearing about him. We're not hearing all the issues they're having. He's not getting scrutinized. And that's exactly what you're after.
Yeah, it's perfect. No, as you said, no touchdowns, but also no interceptions. Like, you just, as I said, you keep the ball rolling. You're 21 and 27, so you're obviously making your throws. You're keeping the chains moving, and you're letting Saquon do the work. Like, just let that guy run the footy. It's pretty simple footy when you bring it down to it, and the Giants have found that now. And I think they've shown the Packers that it's going to be a tough year out there, out in the NFC. We always thought it was going to be, look, Packers and Bucks, maybe Rams. But outside of that, it was going to be a really easy NFC. And I think they've sort of shown them. And if I was the Packers, I'd be a little bit worried at the moment because, yeah, you're not looking safe even in your own division, let alone the NFC.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right there. So, look, Giants been really good there. We'll talk about them later in the next when we talk about Week 6. But they've got a big matchup against my boys this week, the Ravens. I think that becomes a real test. It's a test for us too. But I think that's a genuine test. I mean, so far, look, let's look at their wins. They've beaten the Titans by one, so I think that was a missed field goal to get the win there.
Yeah.
They've beaten the Panthers by three.
Only lost was to the Cows, that Monday night game.
That's right, lost to the Cowboys, beat the Giants, beat the Bears, sorry, by 8, and then beat the Packers. So not a bad run, but they'll come against the Ravens, who I believe we are actually pretty decent.
Yeah, well, you can only beat who's in front of you. Then moving on, look, Buffalo, they're fucking good, obviously. They just absolutely destroyed Pittsburgh. Like, that just wasn't even a fair fight, really.
No, it is ridiculous. Josh Allen just, in that first half, just showed his credentials. And the Steelers, man, Steelers are in absolute disarray. They're in all sorts. Now, I know it's picket time, and he's going to get his time, and it's going to take a while for him, and it's great. They've got a change of the guard, and it's happened finally. Whether he's the answer, I don't know. But this could be, as you said last week, Mike Tomlin's first losing season since, what, 2003?
Yeah, well, I think I have to eat my words here a little bit because a few weeks ago when we said TJ Watt was out, I said they'll be fine, no issues whatsoever. But you look at them, they're staring down the barrel of like 3 in a row or something like that, losses. It's really showing that, or four losses, sorry, it's really showing that they need him at least to stabilize something in there, because whatever's going on now, they are just falling to pieces and it's just not working at all. I mean, look, Kenny Pickett, I think long-term, he's getting out and doing what he wants, and which is being aggressive. Like, he threw 52 times, one interception, 300-odd yards. So he's clearly being aggressive, and Tomlin's just putting the ball in his hands. And I think, look, he's going to learn from his mistakes. Unfortunately, there's probably going to be a lot of mistakes, but he will learn. Yeah. And he's going to be better for the run. And I think Pittsburgh long-term are probably going to need to, you know, have a losing season, go back to the draft and maybe rebuild a little bit more around him. I suppose offense is probably not too bad, but probably a little bit more in defense, because as soon as you take away TJ Watt, they've just clearly fallen to pieces.
Yeah, well, that was probably going to be my next question as I was thinking about you saying it then. Like, if they go to the draft and they're, let's say, a bottom four pick, sorry, well, a pick 1-4 because they finished near last in the league, what do they address? Now, I know their line is really struggling. There's a couple of guys out there that look really good for offensive line, but I guess quarterbacks have sort of been on the market as per. Will Anderson is an absolute beast out of Alabama. Now, do they go there and patch more defense? Or, I don't know, that's going to be a weird one.
Yeah, I suppose looking at their, if their line is pretty rubbish, you wouldn't want to go in and use a top four pick.
No.
Especially if, like, if you've got like CJ Stroud will go probably one, you know, maybe Bryce Young or someone like that, depending on if they come through.
Yeah.
I know Will Levis is there as well, potentially, but he's got, like, if the kid's going to get beaten around for the next 2 years, is there a point? Like, just build up on the defense and keep letting Kenny Pickett pick it.
Yeah. Oh, no, I completely agree. So I'm curious to see where they go. I mean, look, we don't know how they're going to end up on the season, but it's going to be an interesting one come the draft, because they're never really up that high in the draft boards.
Yeah. Looking at a couple more matches, Chargers took out the Browns, Vikings beat the Bears, Patriots absolutely decimated the Lions. Now, I think this is an interesting one for the Lions. We've all thought that the Lions probably were the unlucky team. You know, I think they've scored the most points without winning in the whole league. But this week they showed their mediocrity and didn't even score a single point against the Patriots. Great game led by Zappi. I think another couple good games. Saints beat Seahawks. Jets absolutely rolled the Dolphins off the back of Breesall. But I think, looking at a couple of ones, probably 49ers finished Matt Rhule and Baker Mayfield's career, which I think Mika will be absolutely stoked about that. But I think looking at that, this is the end of Baker. Like, he is injured now, but regardless, he probably would have been gone after that game.
Yeah, they're going to be looking, and it's going to be interesting to see how much they blow up the Panthers, how much they trade. I don't think they want to, but teams are going to be coming crawling to get some of their better players. But, man, if I'm Matt Rhule, look, you want to be coaching, but that man's going to be earning $800,000 a month for the next 48 months to sit back and watch football. Like name a better gig.
Yeah, because that was his second year, wasn't it? So, like,
yes.
And
Yeah,
because I think they went, like, it was like 5-11 or something last year around that. But because he sort of came out of, he didn't have a huge, great college career. Like, he had that one good year at Baylor before he signed up to them.
Exactly.
Like, that was an amazing year. He brought Baylor back in the space of 2 years. Credit where credit's due. But I think, as we've sort of seen, there is longevity in the college game, and, you know, one or two good seasons does not make an NFL coach, because, again, by the looks of it, it's not about being able to play call and things like that. It's more the man management on the side of college, really, and just getting throbbers to throb on the weekend for you, you know. Whereas in here, you really got to know your plays and what plays to do, because it just shows up that these guys can't string anything together or create a semblance of, like, an offense or a defense.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, when we think about that, what college coach, I guess, has really succeeded in the NFL? There isn't genuinely a huge amount. I can't rattle off names. Now, I know, I think Tom Coughlin was one, really good. But there isn't a huge, vast list of guys that have made the transition and really succeeded. Now, as you said before, like, they're just sort of man managers getting them together, but they're also recruiters. And I guess they're working on trying to, they get to these big schools. All they got to do is try and recruit the best blokes into what, try and win championships. Now, when you're building a roster like in the NFL, it's completely different.
Yeah, like, it's a long-term game. And, I mean, you can see why, like, guys like Saban and that don't even bother. Like, they're like, obviously the money's really good and there's no point in moving because he wins every year. But he's obviously not interested in the challenge, because he knows it's just a completely different game and it's not for him. Like, you know, it's for those, like, coordinate, the offensive or defensive coordinators to move up, because those are the guys that move up. They've got the plays already on their side. but then they go into sort of like that just little bit bigger list management, take on that little bit bigger role, I suppose. I mean, look at Brian Daboll. He comes in, ex-offensive coordinator from the Bills, and he's absolutely ruled in the New York Giants, like we just mentioned them. So I think, yeah, college to NFL, it's a big jump for guys, even just winning the Heisman, let alone a coach. So you can see it's just a completely different ball game.
Oh, it certainly is. Now, looking at another game, I think we kind of can't go past Ravens-Bengals. I think it wasn't the most exciting in terms of scoring, but the game was pretty solid in itself. Now, I think looking at teams like the Bills dominating, I know Dolphins have kind of hit the skids, but those are two teams we've lost to. But seeing the Bills and the way we lost to them, and we probably, look, I'll go out on a limb and say we probably should have won that game. I think there was a pretty rough call in the fourth that led to a score. But we also should have held on. Now, I think we've showed this week against the Bengals. Bengals are improving, but Burrow struggled. Like he threw an over 20-yard attempt once in the game. I think I sent this to you the other day. When we played him last year, when he threw 525 yards, our corners were Anthony Averett, who is now at the Raiders, Tavon Young, who knows where he is, Kayvon Seymour and Darryl Worley. I think they're on our practice squad. This time we had Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Brandon Stevens and Pepe Williams. Burrow passed for 217 yards. None of his three-headed monster eclipsed 50 yards. Now, I think Higgins barely got a snap. It didn't really do anything. Jamar Chase didn't do much and Tyler Boyd didn't do much. I think Hayden Hurst did most of the work and Joe Mixon sort of came into it for a little bit. But I guess another win with Tucker kicking the field goal, but it's a promising look for us.
Yeah, like it's a genuine, you know, division battle. You know, you expect those rivalry games to come in, they'd be hard, especially after last year. You know, they torched you guys and made you look absolutely silly. I think they beat you twice, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, they absolutely pulled their pants down twice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I mean, you came back, you won a gritty victory at home. And I think, and as Tucker said, it's a shitty place to kick. So for him to get over the top, it just shows that he's the absolute goat leg of the thing. I think Lamar is going well. You can't say too much about that game. It wasn't amazing, but it wasn't bad either. Like,
no.
I think, again, his arm accuracy was probably out a bit, but when push came to shove, he got on his bike and got through the runs, which is what he's got to do because I think that's his strength. You know, we know his arm's power is getting better and it's going to get better and he's starting to look a lot better, and I think, in the passing game. But to be honest, his strength is the run game. So when he does pull it down and, you know, makes an impact on the run game, I think he absolutely should. And that's what he did.
Yeah, look, he by far wasn't his best game, but I think you have absolutely nailed it there. And it's like, yeah, he didn't make the passes, but when he needed him, he made the drives. He kept the drives going. He got us into the position we needed to be in. Look, we've said this many times. The wide receivers we have, yeah, they're capable. We didn't have Rashad Bateman this week, and he's our number one. And look, in the league, where does he sit? But we had DuVernay, we had James Prochet, we had DeMarcus Robinson. Now, he's doing this with those sort of caliber guys. If we ever get a resemblance of what the Bengals have got, of what other teams have got, I'd love to see what Lamar can do with that. It's quite frustrating for him, I'd imagine, and he's doing it without these guys.
Yeah, it's a huge win, but a big W for you guys, especially in your tight division down there. I suppose we can't go past as well. Cooper Rush, 4-0, takes down the Rams as well. Now, didn't do too much on the stat sheet, but I think probably the most pressing question is, if Dak comes back, do you leave Rush out there or do you bring Dak straight back into the starting lineup?
It's so hard to say. He's kept him at 4-0 in his time, but, I mean, you're paying Dak all that money. It's very hard to leave that much money just sitting on the pine. But, yeah, you make a good point there. Like, where does this land? Cooper Rush is going to be a very good backup for them because I think they do stay with Dak, and I think they've got to. Like, it's very questionable if they don't.
Great. Yeah, I think, look, Cooper, as much as he's been able to eke out the wins, I don't think he's been amazing. He's just done what he's had to. He's done his job. And I think if they can bring Dak back in and get him to do his job with the team that they've got, you know, their defense has actually been quite good recently, so they've been able to keep on the field. Pollard and Elliott have been doing a really good one too. So when one's having a bad game, the other one seems to step up and vice versa, which I really like. Look, CD's nuts. He's going okay. I think they get Gallup back from injury soon as well. So there's another addition to the offense. So, I mean, look, if they can get Dak to come in and do their job, they get someone with a bit better arm strength and accuracy probably. Maybe not accuracy, but, you know, you get a little bit more options, I suppose, with your offense. So, look, they probably do. But I think if Dak stays off the field any longer, you know, if Cooper gets the next two games and he gets wins, it's sort of hard to argue with him because the guy has really put the runs on the board. And that's something I think that Dak just hasn't been able to do over the past 3 or 4 years recently.
No, you're absolutely right. So it's going to be interesting to see where they go. I guess, well, I think they have Eagles this week. So if they cop a loss, people will probably be calling for Cooper Rush's head and they'll want Dak back straight away.
100%. And I think finally we should touch on the Las Vegas, the Kansas City game. Now, this was another one that came down to probably a coaching call, a statistical decision, but 30-29. This was a really good game. This was an actual primetime game that people wanted to watch. This was fun. Raiders went out 17-0, then Chiefs brought it back and went ahead, and finally Raiders brought it back to 29-30. Look, deciding to go for the two-point conversion instead of drawing it up, it was a tough call at the end, but Travis Kelce led the way with 4 touchdowns without doing absolutely anything else for the rest of the game. So I think that's a great night for him. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I guess there's two things. Was Devontae Adams' catch a catch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a hard one for me. I thought, because it looked like he bobbled a little bit, but then I'm like, oh, I actually think he still got it in his grip. So that kind of ruined it there. And then
he looked like he dragged that back toe at the same time as well, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And then obviously we saw them run into each other, which was a bit of a shit way to sort of end the game. But I think the decisions made, we've seen it time and time again. Now, yes, if you get the 2-point, you're the absolute hero, but you also leave Kansas City with a chance to drive down the field and beat you anyway. But we've seen Ravens do it multiple times. They go for it, and some players love the decision, some players hate the decision. But more often than not, you lose that game, and it bites you in the ass. Like Chargers, it happened to last year. I mean, Raiders were on the better end receiving of that, weren't they?
Yeah, for sure. I think, even like the Chargers almost lost one over this week as well. Like instead of kicking the ball away and leaving the Browns, you know, at their 20 with 40 seconds to go and no timeouts, they decide to go for it on 4-and-1 in their own half, you know. So they initially turn it over and then the Browns have a chance, but Browns being Browns, they miss the field goal. But I think, for this one, you just thought like, okay, maybe I'll go the 2-point conversion. I understand the 2-point conversion if you just happen to get a fluky touchdown and, you know, momentum's not in your swing. And, you know, if you thought, oh, going into overtime, Kansas City's all over us. But I think at that point, Raiders had actually wrestled back a lot of the ascendancy in that game. I felt like, you know, it was a really seesawing game. But at the end of that fourth quarter, Raiders felt like they were on top and they were rolling over the Chiefs quite easily. So I thought if that had gone for another extra 10 minutes, I could have easily seen the Raiders winning that one for sure.
Yeah, 100% you could. I actually thought they were probably going to get away with it in the end. Now, that leaves them at 1-4. There's a fair few coaches on the hot seat, your man included. Where do we see Josh McDaniels?
I don't know, hey. Because, look, when you look at the Raiders, you don't see a 1-4 team, do you? No. I mean, tight loss against the Chargers, tight loss against the Cardinals, tight loss against the Titans. They rolled us. And then, again, another tight loss against the Chiefs. So you've had... You're looking at your first five. That's a pretty tough one. It may be looking at it, probably not an easy game against us, and maybe the Titans is a little bit iffy loss. But
yeah,
I think, you know, for what they've got and what they've done, they've had a really tough start. They go away. They play the Texans, Saints, Jags, Colts, and then us again. Cool. That's their next 5-game stint. So you could really flip that around and be 6-5 before you know it.
Yeah, it's true. There is a potential for them to really change it this year. But yeah, 1-4 is a horrible start. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do from there.
Look, but probably the big thing that came out of that game was the roughing the passer calls. They've been coming a bit hot and hovered today, obviously with the concussions, people getting slung. I understand that. It's not ideal seeing that roughing the passer, but it is fair enough. Now this one was a strip sack essentially. But with the defender falling on, basically tackling Carr in the game and then stripping the ball and falling on top of him, and that was called roughing the passer because he didn't break the fall, essentially, which I think was just absolutely ridiculous. And that one was just so stupid.
Yeah. Oh, it was ridiculous. And there's been a fair few this year, and the culprit has been twice the same guy. I think there was one in our game and then obviously the Tom Brady one, and we thought the Tom Brady one's the most ridiculous one, and then lo and behold, someone's come out and
topped it.
Caused it. Oh, man, how can you top it? And they have. But, like, how I don't understand how you're meant to tackle the quarterback these days. Like, where does this lead? This is an offensive league already. Like, they've already gifted enough in, like, these past interferences. holding, all sorts of things. Like, as a defender, what the hell are you meant to do in this game? It is so difficult for you already, and they're just making it even harder.
Yeah, and as I said, look, we can understand if you, like, really sling some guy around. I mean, we've tried to outrule that in our games over here, which is fair enough because you can do some damage, you know, and there's just no need. Once you stop their forward momentum, that's it. Call the play over. But, you know, for you to be a regulation tackle and, you know, you're actually using your arms to take the footy out of his hands to get possession for your team, to then have that turned around, that was just tough to watch for them. That was just so heartbreaking. And I think it's going to make things really hard for a lot of these defenders who are, you know, as you said, up against it already, and now they've got to think about so many other things. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. And this goes probably one of two ways. It goes even further, and there's just going to be even more ridiculous ones called. Or now there's going to be players who get smacked and they're too scared to call it because of the backlash they're going to receive, saying this passing, roughing the passer calls aren't happening. And I guess it's interesting for the style of quarterback there is now. The quarterbacks who break the pocket and run a lot, I feel, get a harder go at this. They get hit worse, but because they're these guys that move out of the pocket and that's just what they're going to expect because they're now sitting in the pocket and getting smashed.
Yeah.
They don't get the calls as much. It's just, I think it's pretty evident.
Well, they're seen as durable because those guys get up because they know, you know, like Lamar, he gets hit, you know, 5-10 times in when he's running and things like that, but he gets up and goes to the next play. Whereas, like, you know, if you're not used to getting hit, you get hit, you feel it and you stay down because you look for that flag, you know. I mean, nothing to knock on Tom Brady, but obviously it's a little bit of the aura as well. You know, he carries it around and someone's like, well, we probably got to look after this guy a little bit more than some other rookie kid. So they're going to get the flags a lot more than these guys.
Yeah, it's very true. I guess Josh Allen's probably the only anomaly there because he gets hit, I think, more than most quarterbacks. He runs a lot and gets hit fuckloads, like way more than Lamar.
Yeah.
But I guess no one talks about it because he's a passer.
Yeah, well, he just sits in that middle ground, isn't he? It's a very odd one.
Yeah.
So, but that wraps up week 5. I think we got to look into our player awards this week, starting off with our rookie watch. Huge one this week. Who have you got, Cam?
Rookie watch, I can't go past the Jets. And Jets rookies this year have just been exceptional. We've already talked about that. I've gone our man, Breece Hall. He was in my multi. Unfortunately, I didn't win my multi, but easy money. Like receiving and rushing yards combined is most like 60 or 70. He had 2 receptions for 100 yards, 18 carries for 97 yards, and a touchdown. Nearly 200 yards of scrimmage, that is just exceptional.
Yeah, he's huge. I think, as you said, the more touches he gets, I think the more he's going to be able to create with that footy. So, huge. It's going to be a tough act to follow. But for me, I've gone Bailey Zappi. Look, 188 yards, 17 of 21, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, which came off the hands as well. It was a dropped catch, so wasn't really his fault. But I just thought the way that he controlled the game against the Lions, as I sort of said, they really dominated them in all facets of the game, defense, offense. But for a guy to come in sort of his debut, so he came in halfway through last week, but this was his debut game. I thought he really controlled the offense well and just kept it chugging along and kept the pressure on the Lions, and they just weren't able to do anything. And then it's one of those things where you can see the Lions, if you give them a sniff, they seem to be able to rack up a score. But if you put them away early and put the scoreboard pressure on them, they start to do stupid things and they just can't get anything running. And I just thought that the way he controlled it, and you can really see him going long term and possibly, you know, unsettling Mac Jones for the number one QB out there at Foxborough.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Like, I think this guy's been fantastic. Now, I guess as a quarterback who's not projected to start, you could be overawed by this situation. So I think this is a testament to his character. He's gone in, not looked a step out of place, delivered a win for his team. I know the defense was fantastic, but as you said, he carried the offense. The offense did the job it needed to. He did his job to a T, which is what Bill's MO is. Like, do your job and we're going to win. And Zappi encapsulates that perfectly. And I think he was outstanding. So I love that pick.
Yeah, absolutely. So moving on to our offensive player of the week. Myself, it was too hard to go past Taysom Hill. Now, again, listed at tight end, but I think he did most of his damage this week at the running back, also a little bit at QB. So he racked up 112 yards on the ground with 3 rushing touchdowns. He also threw for 1 of 1, 22 yards with a TD as well. So 4 total touchdowns. And he also chimed in with a few kick returns as well, so which set them up with some nice field position to start the drives.
Yeah, true definition of a Swiss Army knife. The man can do absolutely anything out in that field. Now, look, I said there was just some absurd performances out there. Honorable mentions, I really have to go. What, Nick Chubb's been excellent. He's clearly been the number one running back in the league. Austin Eckler is a close second. Justin Jefferson was good as normal. Josh Allen, Gabe Davis. Like there was just a lot of performances on the weekend. I had to give it to Kelce. I think it's not often you score four touchdowns, four in the red zone from four, what was it, four catches for 25 yards?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so it's really difficult not to give it to that man. I think that's he's leading the league in touchdown receptions, and he's been exceptional, and I think that's just efficiency at its best.
Can't get much better than that. Speaking of efficient, moving on to the defense, for guys like me, I've gone out someone that actually hasn't gotten a shout-out this year from us, but who is an absolute baller on the defense, Aaron Donald. He came in, six tackles, two sacks, and he forced the fumble as well on a big defensive day out there for the Rams.
Yeah, look, exceptional pick, and I think we're just so used to him dominating. I guess that's why he doesn't get up there, because we're just like, oh, yeah, that's a standard day for Aaron Donald. That's not really jumping off the page. But, yeah, he's been awesome. They've been disappointing, the Rams as a whole, but he's also just delivering as he always does.
Yeah, what about yourself for defense?
I've gone same game. I've gone the other side. I've gone for Micah Parsons. Now, I had him as my defensive player of the year in our awards at the start of the year. I looked in my Sportsbet account, thought I might have put a bit of money on him because he's come in. I didn't. I did not put any money on him. I'm furious because I think he's a very good chance of winning it. TJ Watt's been out. Miles Garrett hasn't been what we expected. Bose has been exceptional. He's one that could challenge for it. Now, there's been a few other guys that have been good, but Parsons on the weekend, the three solo tackles, five total. Two sacks, one tackle for loss, and three quarterback hits. I think he's just – the amount of pressure he's getting on the quarterback at the moment, getting in that backfield so often. And I think he posted something on Twitter the other day. It's like, well, geez, if these roughing the pass calls are happening, what's the go here? What am I meant to do? Like, he was getting held, just completely manhandled, and just can't get a flag, cannot buy a flag.
No.
So, yeah, I think, they, as we talked about before, defense gets rough end of the stick, but those two absolute giants dominated that game.
Yeah, huge credit to him that he's doing all that work and even still not getting the flags. But huge week for those guys. We'll put them up on the socials, and again, we'll get you to vote on them. But yeah, moving on to our player stonks, it's a good week to buy. Obviously, interest rates are up, so you want to make sure you get the right stocks this week. For myself, we touched on him before, but it's for me, the riser is Brian Daboll. As we said, ex-Bills offensive coordinator, he's absolutely turned around New York for a 4-1 start. He's basically got Daniel Jones humming, as we said, not doing anything amazing, but he's not doing anything bad. And by God, that has absolutely changed them. Their defense is going really well. And I think he's going to get Saquon. He's going to get Saquon's the comeback player of the year. I can really just see that now.
Yeah, look, I agree. He's been fantastic. I don't know if I agree with the comeback player of the year. Our boy, Many Men, Brian Robinson, was back this week after getting shot. We kind of didn't talk about that. We can talk about that a little bit later. But
yeah,
look, Daboll's been exceptional. Giants have been exceptional. And I'm curious to see how they go this weekend.
Yeah, so who are you buying this week from the stocks?
I'm buying Joe Douglas. Joe Douglas, as a GM, has been exceptional. If I look at the last, I mean, we talk about rookies each week. We've talked about Jets rookies without fail every single week. Now, we've talked about Sauce Gardner. He was their first pick at four. Amazing. Garrett Wilson, one of the best wide receiver rookies in the league at the moment. Jermaine Johnson's one we kind of haven't really mentioned a huge amount. I think he's been playing a bit, but not one that we've been seeing jump off the page. Breece Hall, pick 36, exceptional. Jeremy Ruckett, tight ends, I guess we don't really see that much of. Max has been outstanding. He's cemented himself a starting spot. Now he's injured, which is unfortunate, but he has been awesome. And then he was there the year before. Zach Wilson, Elijah Vera Tucker, Elijah Moore, Michael Carter, the other Michael Carter, Brandon Echols, guys that are starting. He has gone out and got guys that are starting in this league. He's brought some guys in. I think he's done an exceptional job, and I think the Jets will be back sooner. Like, both New York teams being back is so interesting.
Yeah, it's making it really fun in the Big Apple, isn't it? It's like throwing back to the Eli and Mark Sanchez days, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness.
But as always, what goes up must come down. So who are you selling for this week?
Oh, look, I was going to say Carson Wentz, but I'm going to have to go Commanders as a whole. Commanders have really been struggling. I guess the comment that we saw Ron Rivera make during the week when they said, what's the biggest issue in your team? And he just flat out says quarterback. And then he kind of defers on the fact he doesn't really blame Carson. But yeah, they went out and spent big to try and get Carson Wentz in. He's been throwing a lot of yards, but he's also been throwing a lot of shit. So the Commanders, I think, are absolutely battling. Sam Howe, I wonder when he'll come in. If not, do they go back to the draft next year?
Yeah, well, we can obviously see that Heineke's not the answer. And I think, look, Carson Wentz has probably run his dash as a QB1. So that's probably the last we'll see of him. Look, for me, it's another guy that I think is looking like his position is untenable going forward, and that's Justin Fields. Looking at the Bears, they sit at 2-3. Sure, they've got those two wins. One was in the slop against San Francisco. So, I mean, that could have easily been a loss as well. You basically look at him and he's 679 yards. So he's sitting 31st in the league. He's thrown 3 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He's 37.1 QBR, which is 25th in the league as well. And I just think he hasn't been doing what's good. So obviously his throwing arm is just no good. We know that they only let him throw like 15, 18 times a game. And, you know, he only makes about 10, 11 completions. So you're not getting an air game. He's not running either. He's not making any impact on the rushing game at all. And I think basically if you take that out, he's not a good player. And I think long-term, the experiment is not going to work out. I think they've got Trevor Siemian in there as a backup. Correct me if I'm wrong. But look, I think long-term, Justin Fields just isn't going to be an NFL quarterback. And I think the Bears really need to face the decision that he's not going to work out.
No, it's really not, which is kind of disappointing. I kind of had better expectations of him there, but yeah, I think it's getting close to it's reaching its potential there, and that's it.
Yeah, and to think the potential was so high, but it's not going to hit it. So basically, yeah, again, we'll pop those up on our socials, give them a hit. You know, it's really good to see those sort of things, and let us know who you think has been really performing or who has really been stinking up the joint. So look out for those ones. But then that looks us to, we look ahead to week 6. Now, this is the first round of the byes. So a few teams that will be able to lick their wounds. You're looking at Detroit, Las Vegas, and Houston all sitting at the bottom of their divisions. Tennessee also gets a break as well. Not that they've been amazing, but they do sit atop their AFC South. Look, we did think it was going to be the end of the primetime duds, but unfortunately, Washington at Chicago. So as we said, both our decliners for the week are suiting up for Thursday night and what we hope is not a huge snore fest like it was last week.
Oh, it's going to be fucking atrocious. Like, I think that's what people were saying. Like, we've just got delivered one of the worst Thursday night football games, and then we're going to follow it up with Commanders Bears. They'll probably surprise us and come out and have an absolutely belter of a game. So I don't think I really have too much to say on this game. I don't think it plays a major part in the game, in the whole comp at all.
No, I mean, and I suppose the only thing it'll be will be Amazon hoping it for a huge game because those guys shelled billions for Thursday night football.
Oh, yeah.
This is the rubbish that the NFL dishes up on them. I mean, I almost feel sorry for them. But look, yeah, I don't know. I don't even care who wins that one. It's a toss of a coin for me, to be honest. Looking ahead, though, I think some interesting games. You've got New England head over to Cleveland. We know Jacoby Brissett has been good out there, and obviously Bailey Zappi starts again. I think one that we probably didn't expect to be would be New York traveling to Green Bay. Really excited to see what Zach Wilson can do because, look, long-term Aaron Rodgers, he's shown that he just is not gelling with anyone at the moment. I think for him, long-term, this could be sort of like the deathbed and, you know, he's just going to be walking out and just getting absolutely stabbed on his retirement tour at home, isn't he?
Yeah, the old Julius Caesar treatment. Yeah, look, it's been an interesting one, that one. I think Jets, obviously, people are going to actually really ride him into this game. The momentum's there. They've been playing good football. Wilson's been doing a great job, and we talked about their rookies, but this just screams to me, chips are down, Aaron Rodgers suits up and just delivers an all-time game. Like, he just seems to do it all the time. And, yeah, I feel that one coming here.
He just loves that shit, doesn't he? Look, Jacksonville travel to Indianapolis. I think another interesting one will be Minnesota head to Miami. Now, obviously, Miami's still without Tua. But, again, we're going to have to see if this team can hold up without him. Or, as we said, is Tyreek Hill right? And that Tua is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, look, it's going to be an interesting one. I think the Vikings get away with this one. Vikings is one that people talked about in the – and I guess I talked about it and said they're a smoky to challenge the Packers. And I don't think they're a smoky to challenge the Packers. I think they're probably going to go and take this division. They've looked good. They've looked really, really decent. Now, I guess I haven't really watched a huge amount of them, so I can't comment. But, I mean, beat the Bears, beat the Saints, beat the Lions – lost to the Eagles, beat the Packers. Now, the Eagles are 5-0. That's a bad, not a great loss, but if they're the real deal, then it's okay. But they haven't had the hardest run so far, so it's hard to get a good gauge of them so far.
No, not at all. But I think, again, Kirk Cousins is doing a decent job out there. He's going quite well, so interesting to see that one. Cincinnati travel to New Orleans. We mentioned Baltimore. You guys are heading over to the Big Apple. Yeah. Tampa Bay take on Pittsburgh. Carolina play Los Angeles. Then some interesting ones. I think Arizona heading over to Seattle could be one to look out for. I think Arizona just coming off a tight loss to the Eagles. But you like what they're doing over there. And I think Seattle, Geno Smith, man, wow. We haven't touched on this, but I did say comeback player of the year was locked over at Saquon's. But Geno Smith could challenge. But the asterisk on that is, was Geno ever lost anything to have to come back from it? I think he's just learned how to play finally.
Well, that's right. And we talked about Tua being the most accurate passer in the league, but apparently Geno Smith is currently 75%. His passer rating is through the roof. We shit all over this Seahawks team before the season, and I think it was a bit unfair so far. They're 2-3. They're not setting the world on fire. Don't get me wrong, but they are playing a lot better than we expected. Their draft class has been really nice, and Geno's playing good football.
Yeah, it's good to watch. So check that one. Finally rounding out the games, it would be Buffalo looking to get their revenge against Kansas City after their playoff loss. Now, I think looking at this one, it is at Kansas City's home, so they take home field advantage. However, just the way Buffalo are playing at the moment, I think they could absolutely do the Chiefs a number here.
Yeah, this could be a really high-scoring game. I think the Bills, as you just said, I think the Bills could get this done.
Yeah, I agree with that one, to be honest. And then finally rounding it out, should be a really fun one, Dallas at Philadelphia. Now, I think Eagles 5-0, can they be the ones to stop Cooper Rush?
Yeah, I think the Eagles still get it done. I think the defense is a lot better. But, I mean, looking forward, and we haven't mentioned the Eagles as much this episode, but where do the Eagles lose their first game? If they win this week, they then go back home and play the Steelers. They stay at home and they play the Steelers. They go to the Texans. They play Commanders, they play the Colts, they play the Packers, they play the Titans. Then they come up against Giants, Bears, Cowboys, Saints, and Giants again.
Wow.
Winnable games.
Yeah, really. I mean, look, normally you would say maybe the Packers or the Titans, but looking at the way this year goes, these guys could really do a number on this table.
Yeah, absolutely. Giants will be the interesting one. We'll see how they'll go because they get to obviously play them twice. Cowboys will play them twice. So you think they'll slip up once or twice there, but they could go deep into the competition this year.
Yeah, very big on that. And then rounding it out with another absolute beauty, we get stuck on primetime again. Denver, we head to Los Angeles to get absolutely smoked in front of the whole nation. Absolutely again. I can't wait to see it. I don't even know what to say anymore, but just hope that we keep it tight with our defense.
It's interesting because I think Russ has a breakout game in him. When it comes, I don't know, but he's going to have a game and people are going to be like, this is what we paid for. This is what we're expecting. And it's going to try and prove everyone wrong. And then the week after they'll slot back into where they belong. But there is a game in them. I don't know if it's this week and it's really hard to say because Chargers, I think, will still win this. But Russ has got a game in him and it's coming.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed it's sooner rather than later because we are absolutely needing that. Big pick-me-up. But so that rounds out about week 6. We really look forward to that one again. Check out all the socials. We'll have some interesting things going for that. Now, just to wrap us up quickly, we've got a huge CFB wrap. I think you probably are bursting to talk about your boys, the Volunteers. Hey, absolute standout over the weekend against LSU, weren't they?
Oh, talking about bursting, I'm bursting at the zipper. My pants were so tight on Sunday. We absolutely trounced LSU 40-13. We are looking exceptional. Now, we now rank 6. We go into Alabama come to Tennessee. Third Sunday in October is the game. Third Saturday, sorry. In October is Bama, Tennessee. And this is the first time it's been a top 10 matchup since like 1998 or something when we were actually relevant. We will go to week 7 in a minute. But the rest of week 6 kind of had a few good games in it. We saw TCU beat Kansas. Now, Kansas lost their starting quarterback, which is unfortunate because I think they had a good season ahead of them. Georgia took care of Alabama. Oklahoma State had a win. UCLA kept rolling. UCLA is building up to make a nice matchup in the Pac-12 with you guys. Ohio State kept rolling. Ole Miss easy done. Clemson easy. USC, you guys got away in the end easy. I thought it was quite tight for a while and it was a bit shaky, but you guys did in the end. This is one we talked about and we said it was a tricky game, was Notre Dame BYU, and we've seen Notre Dame take that one out. Bama, Texas A&M. What do we go there? That was wild.
Yeah, look, a crazy one, wasn't it? Because I think Bryce Young didn't play, so you're looking at Alabama escaping away with a win, essentially. I think A&M have been really unlucky in a couple of their losses when it's come to field goals and things like that. So they've proven that they can be up there, but they're just – they're not able to put teams away, essentially. Like, they got up for a bit, and it was a tight one. But I just think, look, Alabama did what they needed to do to get the win, as they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I won't go into the depths of it. Week 7, I want your view of how this is sort of going to play out. We've got some serious matchups here. Oof. What is your initial thoughts, Alabama, Tennessee, 3v6 in Knoxville? We're going to have some serious recruits there. We've lost a player. He got arrested during the week, but that's college football.
That's college football for you. Geez, I'd really love to see a Tennessee win. I think if Bryce Young suits up, it's going to make your job hard. I believe, is he in or not sure at the moment?
Oh, look, I dare say he plays, and we'll get one of our wide receivers who had a surgery. He wants to be back straight away. But, yeah, I think Bryce Young, they've penciled that one in. They wanted him back for this one, which is going to make it an absolute shootout. Now, our defense, yeah, I don't think we'll be able to stop them, but it's how much our offense can pile on the points.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, look, home ground advantage leads in your favor, but I really want to see Alabama lose. I really, really do. But I just think they might just get the edge over you. They just look that little bit better. I really love what Tennessee are doing at the moment, but it's going to be a crazy game out there. There's a few other beautiful ranked games this week, actually. Looking at a huge one, Michigan v Penn State, both undefeated teams as well. I really like what Michigan are doing running the rock, but Penn State could come in and absolutely causing some absolute trouble in there.
Well, that's the thing. So looking through this lineup, there's some serious ramifications for the CFP playoff in this week, this matchup. Tennessee could be not eliminated essentially from all contention. Alabama could be taken outside the top four for the first time in ages. Michigan probably could do themselves a favor and maybe push for top four, or Penn State can really end that season pretty quickly. There's a few more. Oklahoma State, TCU.
Yep.
NC State, Syracuse is another nice matchup. Clemson, Florida State could be a shaky one. And you guys go against Utah.
Yeah. So I think, especially like in consideration for us, like in consideration for the Pac-12, outside of maybe us and UCLA, maybe Oregon as well, anyone with a one loss season isn't making it into the Pac-12. So I think you want to keep it perfect. This is going to be a tough game against the Utes. They've been playing well recently, only 4-2. I think the favors look to be going in the Utah way. It's money way. They've beaten sort of Arizona State, Oregon State. They lost to UCLA by 10. They beat San Diego, Southern Utah, but they did lose to Florida in week one. So that's sort of a tough pill to swallow, especially looking at the way Florida's been playing now. They've just been absolute garbage recently. So hopefully, look, I think we've been slow to start the last couple of weeks, but if Caleb Williams gets on his bike and starts rolling it, I mean, Travis Dye has been outstanding in the backfield as well. That's been absolutely great, getting that running game working, because that's only just going to push us. But I think the issue is going to be on defense. So hopefully we can shut them down and really lay a nice platform for Williams to come in and dominate through the air.
Yeah, well, for all our punters at home, $2.43 for USC. Is there a bit of value in that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so look, I love that. That's fantastic. We might piddle together a nice little multi. We got Kansas at 370, and now I know they lost their quarterback in Oklahoma. We're the only college football team to not score a touchdown last week, or not, I think in all of Division I college football, which is wild stat.
Crazy.
Oklahoma not scoring a touchdown. Yeah, insane. So look, as always, college football has just got another huge weekend. I think college game day is in Knoxville. It's an orange out. Everyone in the stadium will be wearing orange this time. It's going to be huge. It's going to be massive. There'll be 100,000 plus in the stadium. I think there's one 6:30 a.m. If you can set your alarms and get onto that one, it's well worth it.
Yeah, massively. So it looks to be a great weekend of football all across the board, NFL, college, you name it. We're getting amongst it. So look, get in touch. We'll pop everything up on the socials as per always. And yeah, like, comment, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. And we can't wait to see you again next week.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.